And we want to talk a little bit this morning before we receive communion here about the whole concept of family a little bit. And also, as you prepare for your bring your tithes and offerings, why don't you just prepare to do that right now as we share a little bit. As we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord, it is a part of our worship. It's a part of declaring that we are people of the kingdom. We are people who function and operate in the kingdom, and we rely on kingdom principles to see the security of the Lord in our lives and in our families and our churches. Now, let's go first to Romans chapter 8 for a moment and just read a scripture here talking about us, really. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, reading out of the Amplified Bible, it says, "For the Spirit which you have now received," so if we're born again, we have received the Spirit of God. "This Spirit is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more into bondage of fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption." Everybody say adoption. Adoption. You have received, let's have everybody say adoption. Adoption. Got to see that you're with it a little bit now. Work with me. You'll only get out of this as much as you put into it. You know that? You only get something out of something if you put something into it. You won't get nothing out of anything if you just sit there and just kind of be amused. This is not a time for amusement. This is a time of allowing the Word of God to go deep within your spirit that will grab a hold of you, that'll change your life, unless you want to stay the same. You want to stay exactly the same way you are now, then just turn off. But if you want to change, be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are exhorted to do, then I believe there will be something imparted to us this morning that will help us in this. We have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship. Everybody say sonship. In which we cry, Abba, Father. Everybody say Abba. Abba is a real tender word, and natural in the English we could use the term daddy, father, that we are intimately involved with him. We have a relationship with him that is so important, that is so good, that is so wonderful that we can cry daddy. And when we have trouble sometimes and we're working in situations and we just need our daddy close to us, well, we can cry daddy and he's there. The word adoption here means to bring a person into a specific relationship, especially to take another's child as one's own. To take a child as one's own. And so God, when we have been born again, God took you and I as his very own. Remember Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So it would seem that before we were born again, that we were under another authority. That God wasn't our father, that we were under another authority. But when we got born again, we have been adopted into the family of God, so we come under the fatherhood of our Creator God. Isn't that awesome? We've become his own. Now, I want to show you a clip here, and it's about a family that was adopted a child. And, you know, in any adoption, there's quite often there is circumstances to work through. It's not always pleasant. And anybody who's ever been involved in that realizes that, you know, adoption takes a lot of work, and people who come into the family, you take anybody into a family and there's got to be adjustments made. And sometimes they don't work all that well. But I want us to watch this clip for a moment and just see the emotion and some of the thoughts that go through people's lives when adoption takes place. Go ahead and play the clip.
Mom. Hey. Why did you pick me?
We picked each other, didn't we? Because I loved you.
Can you turn it up?
But you didn't know me.
Oh, but I did. I watched you. You know, I was just like you when I was in the home.
You were there too?
In the orphanage for girls. Till my 16th birthday.
You never got picked.
Oh, no. Never. No one took the time to know me. But I know you, Tomas.
The guy who was the little boy who was adopted said, "Why did you pick me?" Did you ever ask that question to God? Why did you pick me? Did you ever ask that question? How come I got to believe? How come I got to be a person who believed when we know there's people all around us, really, that don't believe, that they're not experiencing God in their lives? Have you ever thought of that? How come you picked me, God? How come you released faith into me so that I could believe? It's amazing. And what was her answer? Because I loved you. Because I loved you. That's why God picked you. That's why God picked me. Because he loves us with an everlasting love. Look at in Jeremiah 31, he says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." And so even when we were walking away from God and enemies of God, the Bible says that God loved us with an everlasting love and he drew us with his kindness. The scripture says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And so it was his kindness in our lives that drew us to himself, to a good God. Why did you pick me? And what did the boy say? "But you didn't know me." And she said, "Oh, but I've been watching you." God was watching you before you were ever born again. God was watching you before you ever called out to Jesus in your life. God had his eye on you. And he was looking and surrounding circumstances around you in such a fashion that you would be most likely to be drawn to him. He was watching you in such a way that he was endeavoring to cause circumstances to come around you. There was angels at work in our lives in order to bring us to the place where we would be most likely to make the decision for Jesus Christ. I believe that happens in everybody's life. Unfortunately, many people don't like make the decision. And some of us older than younger. But he's watching us. He's watching all of us. He loves us. He keeps his eye on us. That's why he wants to pick us. The Lord has been moving in our lives long before we were ever born again. When we are born again, we're adopted into the family, there are things that need to take place in order to change. Let's play that next clip.
Tomas, come here. Sit.
Okay, look at this. It's your turn, Tomas. Call them in closer. Don't tell me you've given up after one try. How do you expect to learn anything? Again? Now, this time take a deep breath and swell up your belly. Now, push out all that air at once when you make the call. That's it.
That little clip just speaks to us about trying again, but never giving up one time. You know, when we're adopted into, in a natural, when you're adopted into a family, if people are adopted into a family, there's many, many adjustments that need to be made. There's all kinds of things. There has to be adjustments made in the one who's being adopted into the family. there's adjustments that have to be made about what is theirs and what isn't and how they're to function in the home and so forth. And many times discouragement comes and it seems like there is no way that it'll ever work. But we must continue to try. When you're born again, sometimes you come into a family of God and you come in with all the junk that you experienced in life and you're beaten down and so forth and you're adopted into this family now, but you feel like you don't fit because you look around and all these people look kind of holy. You know, I've heard that from some of you when you came in and you got saved. I heard the testimony that when you first came in here, you thought everybody was so holy. You thought everybody was so wonderful until you heard some of their testimonies. And you've seen what they came out of. And then you realize, hey, they're just like one of my, they're just like me. They just had the same junk in their lives to deal with as I've got. And so they came in and began to share and had to make some adjustment, but they kept trying. People who are still here have kept trying. People who, every one of us had reason to quit. The enemy gave us reason to quit. The enemy gave us reason to turn around and walk out and say we don't fit here. Every one of us, the enemy gave us reason to say, you are not good enough to join this family. Every single one of us. But we kept praying. We kept believing God. We kept holding fast to this word of God. And God brought us to where we are today. And we thank God for it. There's always a challenge in the kingdom. But try again. Try again. There's adjustments to make. But those adjustments are worth making when we come into a family of God. Now, the one who adjusts, the one who is adopted into the family, has to make some adjustments, but also the family does as well. Let's watch this next clip.
Changed, hasn't he?
Aye. Fresh air and you're cooking.
And have you noticed that he calls me Mum?
I had.
Oh. Come on, babe. Come
what
on.
Does he call me, I wonder?
Oh, just himself. Oh, I think he knows that you wouldn't want him to call you Alec.
Good enough.
You hardly talk to him.
I try. He hardly says a word.
You have to show him you want him.
I feed him, put clothes on his back, and share my house with him. I can't help not having feelings for him the way you do.
But don't you see, Alec? I need you to share more things with him. And not just the house.
Stop it! Stop it! Give me a ball. Ben's a good boy.
I know you wished for our own child. But have you considered that maybe Tomas is a gift to us?
How many of us in life have walked through life and maybe hit a parent that said, you know, when you were after their love, that you may have had a parent, well, I feed them, don't I? They live under my roof, don't I? I do all this stuff for them, all this stuff for them. I give them all this stuff for them. But yet, they haven't really given them themselves. And sometimes as a body of believers, as we are looking at an individual who comes into our fellowship, we have to keep in mind of the things that they need. And for any of you who might be new or even having trouble with relational body relationship, having difficulty with communion, with body relationship with one another, I want you to think about this for a moment. That man there was having a difficult time to bond with that young boy, not having anything to do, any problem with the boy, it was in his own heart, of issues that he had in his own life. And sometimes when we have difficulty coming or embracing a new individual as a church, I ask that new individual, that one is having a difficult time, extend grace toward us. We haven't come from a perfect world. We haven't come from a perfect upbringing. We haven't come from a perfect family. Every one of us has been dysfunctional to some degree, some more than others, but none of us have come through this in a perfect fashion. And so when we have difficulty trying to assimilate into a family or come part of a family or feel that we're part of the family, grant us grace. We're dealing with our own stuff. Really, we are. We're not as bad as we were, but we're not as good probably as we should be when it comes to expressing our love and the grace of God upon our lives. Grant unto us grace. And embrace us, even though sometimes it's difficult. And if you'll do that, probably we'll meet somewhere. I don't like to say halfway, but we'll meet somewhere where we'll have a sense of we love you so much, and you'll have a sense of we feel part of the family. We really feel part of the family. We're part of the body. We're part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this lady asked this man, have you considered that he might be a gift to us? I want you to think about just, you know, we basically pretty much know everyone here. I'm not saying we know them intimately or well or anything, but we know one another as a part of the body. Well, if you are having difficulty with anybody here in this place, if you're having problem with anybody here in this place, if you're having, you know, I don't like the way they said that, I don't like their attitude, I think they have a haughty spirit, I think there's a little pride there, I think there's a little self-humility there, then I want you to stop just for a minute. Consider the fact that they might be a gift to this body. That person that we think is a little haughty, a person that we think is a little mouthy, they may be a gift to this body. God is so good, and he wants to mold us and shape us into all what we are to be in him, and it's going to take people that irritate us to do that. Well, as we prepare to receive communion this morning, to receive the most awesome gift that we could receive in the area of the communion table, we want to give careful consideration to who we are as a body of believers, who we are as a body. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, we read this pretty much every time. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we prepare to receive communion. We'll begin reading at verse 23. The Apostle Paul declared this, "For I have received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you." Paul is saying here, this has been given to me personally, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. In the very depth of the worst time in Jesus' life, the Bible says he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance." So one of the things that we want to do when we come to this communion table this morning is that we want to remember Jesus. We want to remember him in a very affectionate way. We want to remember him in a way that will cause us to think about the love that he has for us. "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Wow. And let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict of judgment upon himself. So Paul is saying, discern the body of the Lord. Now, folks, listen. Don't miss out here. What is spoken about here not only refers to the Lord Jesus' flesh and blood body when he walked upon the earth, the one that was beaten and emancipated for you and I. It also refers to this body of believers. It speaks to us about we have to discern that we are part of a family. That families stick together. And we can kind of limit that and kind of gloss that over by saying, yes, I'm part of the body of Christ, and thinking that only thinking about the larger body of Christ. And we can kind of gloss that over and get away from any responsibility of family ties by doing that. But when you think of the body of Christ as this particular family now, where we're at, we realize that we can have responsibility. We can take responsibility of this family. Any child that's a part of a family and doesn't take responsibility for the betterment of that family is really not doing his part, is it? They haven't really hooked in. And I want you to realize that as you are a part of this body of Christ, that you have a responsibility, I have a responsibility to the embetterment of this body of believers. Thank God we have babies in the family. Thank God for babies in the family. Wouldn't be a grown family without it. But I want you to consider that as we come to the Lord's table this morning, that we are part of one another, that we need one another, that each one of us carries the supply of the Spirit of Jesus that we desperately need. And that supply of the Spirit of Jesus is administered through you, through who you are, your character, your dislikes, your likes and dislikes, and who you are. In other words, we need you. You're part of the family. You're part of the body. That means you pay attention to your body. Your family comes first. You take responsibility. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Correctly discern the body. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Stand with me, please. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for the Spirit of Jesus in this place. I thank you, Lord, that as we come before you, we take this time to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves to discern our connection to the body of believers in this house. I thank you, Lord, for your ability working within us, dear God. I thank you, Father, for within this family, there is an anointing for growth, for healing, for health. I thank you, Father, there is a grace on this family, even for prosperity in every area of life. I thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of being part of this family. I praise you for it in the name of Jesus. And I speak blessing upon each and every one, dear God. And as we examine ourselves, Father, we just realize that we want to be whole before you, spirit, soul, and body. We praise you for the privilege of calling upon you as our daddy today. As a family, we call upon you as our daddy. And as we receive the emblems this morning, God, We thank you that we receive all that the covenant says is ours. We see healing in that covenant, God. We see prosperity in that covenant, Lord. We see healed relationships in that covenant, Lord. We see deliverance in that covenant, Lord. We see the grace of God in that covenant today, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're a born-again believer this morning, I invite you to come and participate in the covenant meal. You can bring your offerings this morning as well. And let's enjoy the covenant meal as a family of God.